Blog Talk Radio.
Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am. I don't know if people caught the introduction, but folks, we're off to a little bit of a choppy start here. Quite frankly, it's on me. I called in late. But again, episode 563 of the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. If you want to call in, that number, 347-215-7598. And if you want to text us, tweet us, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. Gabe, good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you, sir. You're a little bit like Connie Chung, kind of like getting in there the last second, as she's known for. It's good to see you, man. It feels like I've been on the road for 2 weeks straight, because I have. So it's nice to be back in San Francisco. I brought my weather back with me. A bit of boxing, kind of depressing. I'm excited to talk about all the stuff that we got to look at this week.
Folks, we're going to be very honest about this. We're going 90 minutes today, and that's twofold. Number one, there's not a lot going on. And number two, in 90 minutes, the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson is on, and that's where my focus is going to be. So, again, awesome. If you want to call in, we'll take your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes, 347-215-7598. It's the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. Let's get started with round number one. Boxing is back. It's showtime from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, for the WBC heavyweight title. Deontay Wilder takes on Arthur Spilska, and for the vacant IBF heavyweight belt, Czar Glaskov takes on Charles Martin. Gabe, Wilder Spilska, we know that Wilder on any given night can be vulnerable. He can look shaky. He can be rattled. Is Spilska good enough to make that happen this week?
No, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't think he's strong enough to get it done. He kind of has a wide stance, so he's not going to get a lot of leverage. I think he's a serviceable, absolutely rugged, tough guy. Take nothing away from him. Watched a bit of him today. He's big, 6'3", he's a southpaw. So, you know, the shots are going to be coming from his side that Wilder's not used to. That could work in his favor, but I just don't think of him as a big puncher. And not that many fights either. He's kind of a younger fighter. He's 26. He's only got, 21 fights. I just don't think I think there's a reason why they picked him, and it isn't because this is going to be a super challenging fight.
I think the bottom line is very simple. This isn't an indictment on the heavyweight title run of Deontay Wilder, when Spilska, who was handily defeated by Bryant Jennings about 2 years ago, the pin, the Polish pin, is actually the most formidable title defense of Wilder, who has faced Eric Molina and Johnny D. Somewhere out there, the Bum of the Month Club of Joe Louis is blushing. And with that said, Gabe, I agree with you. There's a reason why they chose him. He's non-threatening. He's with the right people who can double-dip off of this fight. And quite frankly, it gets him home scot-free to the fight with Alexander Povetkin, which is due within the first half of 2016. So I agree with you. I think Wilder will win this fight. But again, we never know what could happen, because let's be honest about this, Gabe. I think Wilder was supposed to beat Eric Molina in 3 rounds, and that was much more of a struggle than I think everybody anticipated. Talk about this earlier today with Mario Lopez. I admit, I was fairly impressed by his victory over Bermain Stiverne, which is basically a year to the day when this fight will take place on Saturday. From that point on, here's what I found interesting, Gabe. Agree or disagree? Don't you think technically and fundamentally, from a pure boxing standpoint, Wilder has seemingly taken a step or two back?
There's no question. It was strange. I mean, you know, I don't think I picked him to beat Stiverne, but he really needed to do everything correct in that fight in order to win, and he did. Showed poise, patience, used his jab, didn't get crazy when he landed something flush. He just kind of paint by numbers. It was a boxing exhibition. And I thought, okay, the guy's arrived. It's all kind of gelled. And then you see his next two fights, and he's back to being, can he be any Wilder? I don't really understand. It was kind of funny. I was at we stayed at the Fantasy Springs for my uncle's funeral, and there on the wall, you know, there's a shrine to Golden Boy. They do their fights there. I think that's Harold Sconyers that Wilder is hitting there. That was kind of funny that they would put that photo up. But you know, I mean, I don't think Spilka can bring back, you know, raise the ghost of Harold Sconyers, but being a southpaw, maybe he can extend things. As we're seeing, the guy's going rounds, and maybe he needs to be going rounds. But it's hard to say at this next level, because the guys he's going rounds with are Johnny D and Eric Molina. I don't know what we're going to get here, but I don't expect Spilka to win.
Here's my opinion, and here's my prediction. Again, he beats the Polish pin, which means that he's going to fight Alexander Sasha Povetkin. And I think right there is more than just a heavyweight title defense. I think that is a fight not only for survival, but really for validation. Because if he doesn't beat Povetkin, this triumvirate of Molina, Johnny D, and Spilska may go down as one of the worst heavyweight title reigns of all time. And I think it would be symbolic of what the PBC has been about. Gabe, the co-feature, Czar Glasgow taking on Charles Martin. I'm going to go with Glasgow. I think he's a little bit more seasoned. And I know I've called him Jagskov, J-A-G, just another guy. But I just get the sense he's a little bit more seasoned. And I think Martin has a better style for him than, let's say, Steve Cunningham. So put me on the books. I am going with Glasgow, as he will win distinction, not just the IBF heavyweight title, game, but as the third best belt holder in the heavyweight division.
You know, it's watching these, doing like tape research for these guys, I was just like, wow, this is the bottom of the barrel. Like, these guys are this is as bad as it gets. And that they have, you know, Curtin Manswell as their common opponent. A guy that I was watching it going, has this guy ever fought before? And there seemed to be something wrong with him. I got to send you the video of Glasgow Manswell, because the crowd in Russia wins for like least interested crowd of all time. They actually, after he gets the stoppage win, they cut to the crowd and there's just a guy stretching, like just sitting in his chair, just like, you know, because that was hard to watch for four rounds. It's really, really quite something. I mean, he's kind of a rough and tumble guy too, Glasgow. He's rugged. He is more experienced. He's got Tomasz Adamek, you know, 12 rounds with him under his belt, although he did seem like kind of a spent bullet. But, you know, Derek Rossi, Darnell Wilson, they've seen better days for sure, but those are quality guys that have probably something to offer you. I don't see anything like that, you know, on Charles Martin's record. I think that's going to be a problem. He's very stiff, doesn't tuck his chin. He's a southpaw and a big man that likes to let his hands go. But, you know, he's fighting guys that aren't really fighting back. And I think Glasgow at least knows how to close distance, handle a bigger foe, work inside. He knows how to do all those little things. I mean, to me, though, this, again, begs the question, why the hell is this fight happening, and why is it for the IBF World Heavyweight title?
Well, again, in defense of the IBF, they're crazy enough to follow their rules. And there were certain decrees before the fight that the winner of Klitschko Fury had to fight Glasgow next, because Glasgow did earn the distinction of the number one and then eventual mandatory contender, as he beat, and again, I put that with quotation marks, beat Steve Cunningham last March in what was a dreary dreary 12-round fight. Gabe, going through some news and notes here, it looks like we might have a done deal, kind of, sort of. It's being reported that Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, looks like will finally be announced at some point this week, either for March 5th or March 12th, depending on the venue. Okay, well, all I can say is they got it done. Now what?
They got it done, kind of. Yeah, you know, I'm excited by the fight. I think it's a good fight. It could be an ugly fight, just because, you know, Sean's the kind of guy that will punch right through you, go right at you. There's not a lot of stopping and then working on the inside. He needs to work on his inside range, I think. But he's an aggressive guy. So is Thurman, who's shown a bit of vulnerability, particularly in the later parts of fights. I think it could be a fun fight. No?
I think it could be a Sean Porter fight. Sean Porter is the 1990 New York Giants. He ball controls you. He grinds you. It's not exciting. It's not glamorous. It's not graceful. It's not elegant. You know what it is, Gabe? It's effective. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Sean Porter, what's he good at? He's good at being strong, physical, smothering you, making life uncomfortable, crowds you. He's very strong. And another factor, which I think is going to hurt the entertainment value of this fight, both guys are coming off what I believe at this stage of their lives are very long layoffs. Gabe, one guy has not fought since June 20th. The other one has not fought since July 11th. When you have fights where both fighters have such long layoffs, and this game is all about timing and all that other stuff and being in sync, I don't know. That's why I think a lot of these fights today fail to live up to their reputation and also the hype, because quite frankly, these fighters, they take a few rounds to get going. And I think the classic example that I'll always point to is Devin Alexander and Tim Bradley, who prior to that fight, basically their activity level really grinded to a halt, and I think it affected what happened in that piece of canvas. Gabe, April 9th, Bob Arum believes that he will reach a deal before tomorrow's purse bid for the WBO 160-pound, 168-pound title between Arthur Abraham and Gilberto Ramirez. I believe the plan is to put that on the Pacquiao-Bradley undercard, along with the likes of Oscar Valdez and lightweight prospect Jose Ramirez. Bob Arum tells me he's going with the all-Hispanic type of card. Gabe, here's the issue. You can market to the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans all you want. I don't know. I just think there's so much negativity towards the main event. Short of putting Felix Trinidad and Oscar De La Hoya on this undercard, I'm not so sure that's going to help the sales all that much.
You could sell, like, maybe lap dances for the first two, three rows. Maybe that would liven things up. You know? But I don't think you're going to get many people very excited about the main event. I mean, it's, you know, just to jump back about the last fight, about Porter Thurman, do you think it could be like Bradley Alexander? I know one's not a southpaw, but that kind of ugly, rough-and-tumble affair because of the long layoffs?
Yes, and again, you say it's an ugly fight? I say it's a Sean Porter fight. I mean, if you really look at it, outside of the bludgeoning of Paulie Malignaggi, which was the one fight, ironically, where he really punched accurately within proper range, everything else, again, is kind of this chest-to-chest battle, two rams going at each other, going head-to-head, a lot of awkward, grinding, ugly type of action. I don't know. And I've always said, the first time a fighter really gets clipped hard on the chin, you learn something about them. Either they get better and tougher, or they become Hector Camacho or Chad Dawson. They're still very talented. They're still very good. But they also start to understand their own mortality within the ring. If you go back to Keith Thurman, even though he stopped Jesus Soto Carras in that first round, a windmill overhand right clipped him and hurt Thurman. Gabe, look at Keith Thurman before and after that fight and tell me if you don't see a different guy.
And two fights in a row, Diego Chavez gave him in the previous fight, and then you come back with Jesus Soto Carras, who probably somebody said, hey, this will be easy. He's just a slow Mexican guy. and then it's anything but. I don't disagree. That could be a Porter win right there. We're going to find out what he's made of. But back to this card, I like Ramirez Abraham a lot. Anytime I get to see Oscar Valdez, I'm happy. Pacquiao Bradley 3, I just, even with Manny coming out and saying, okay, I am going to retire after this, cool, so this is the gold watch. So, like, are you going to tell me after if you don't win? Well, it was my last fight, and I just had kind of lost the fire. And, you know, I mean, or are we going to get, like, the last bit of passion that the guy's got? Probably not. This is not much to get excited about.
I spoke with Larry Merchant today, and I asked him point blank, I go, Larry, is there any interest in Pacquiao Bradley 3? And he said bluntly, no. In fact, he tells me, Gabe, he's not going to even watch it.
Really?
And this is one of the biggest Manny Pacquiao advocates around. I don't know if I'd describe him as an unabashed fan, but Larry will tell you, he likes Manny Pacquiao, that he's been a big supporter of his, and he said flat out, Steve, I'll be doing something that night, most likely not watching Pacquiao Bradley 3. I think that right there said a lot. Gabe, you know what's been the most interesting battle in boxing so far in 2016? I think it was a Twitter battle between Sullivan Barrera, a.k.a. Sully B, and Andre Ward. And I got to tell you, if Sullivan Barrera can box or fight as well he's been tweeting this weekend, sign me up for March 26th because that's going to be a hell of a battle. But once again, Andre Ward, I'm just telling you, with some of the stuff he says publicly, Gabe, I've said it before, he lacks self-awareness, and he's not as smart as he thinks he is.
And he's just, it's frustrating to watch somebody that's not very witty try to be witty. You know, it's not frustrating. It's actually kind of funny to watch. But
it's cringeworthy. It's cringeworthy.
It is. It's cringeworthy. And you're not going to get rich off of me. Nobody's getting rich off of you. Nobody's making $1 million payday. You're not even getting rich off of you because you're not fighting. So, you know, I don't get it. Sullivan Barrera almost got a follow out of me. I want to give him another week, see if he's got other people he wants to get at, other tools in his bag. But the cartoons were pretty legendary.
You know, whatever he's paying for those cartoons of Jay-Z and SOG going to JCPenney, he ain't paying him enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
In the year-end awards for Cartoon of the Year, that's going to sweep first, second, and third. That gets the gold, silver, and bronze. And whoever came up with the line, who's your promoter, Jay-Z or JCPenney? Gabe, as a connoisseur of corny jokes, that was so bad, it was good. Let's go to the Twitter timeline right now, and we start off with our first man, the president, Andrew V. Kennedy, who asked, could Cotto Juan Manuel Marquez really happen? And wouldn't it be kind of necessary for there to be no testing for the fight to work? That's a good point. But, Gabe, Cotto Marquez, I feel two ways on this fight. Number one, it just goes to show you Cotto Marquez, again, they're part of that crew where I say you're sizzling, move over bacon, make way for something younger. And it's kind of a freak show element given the fact I don't see these guys being in the same weight class. But you know what? As long as they're not interrupting the progress of other younger fighters, you know what? No harm, no foul.
I could agree with that. When it's two old names that have kind of circled each other in a really strange way, considering one started out at 140 and the other one was like a career featherweight, I don't really mind it that much. If they're going to do pay-per-view, it's kind of on their dime. I mean, Shane Mosley's doing everything on his dime, it would seem. But, I mean, I wasn't aware that Marquez was looking for a fight. Did Sean Penn do an interview with him that I'm not aware of? Or? I don't understand. Did he find him? But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not really a fight. I mean, where would you put that at? You know, I mean, not logistically, but, I mean, what weight would you put that at? 54?
That just looks like a grab bag special, doesn't it? Hey, who are two big names that don't want really tough fights? But if you put them together, you might get a few buys out of it. Oh, Cotto Marquez. Again, let's let the new generation of boxing take its place in the sport. I'm done with these other guys. Here's one from Matt. The last two middleweight lineal champions have never fought an opponent at 160. Boxing is shish. Discuss. Well, Gabe, I think that pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
I've been thinking about the lineal thing. You know, looking at you got Canelo as the lineal 155 middleweight champion. And he's kind of dancing around the idea of fighting Golovkin, who's like the people's champion, and he's collecting belts. And so he's becoming the champion before our eyes. Then you've got all these kind of, you know, newer title holders come up. BJ Saunders is now weighing his options. We'll talk about that in depth later. And I wonder, does lineal, I mean, to you and I, it doesn't really mean that much. We want to see great fights. But for the people that care about history, do you take into account the amount of, like, you know, media outlets there are? I mean, you could be an HBO guy and you could be a Sky guy and never really have to deal with that other guy as long as you're getting paid from the network. It doesn't really mean the same anymore. These guys could just avoid each other and kind of have separate legacies, and there's really no policing it, you know? I mean, it just makes for a weaker era.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. It truly is, and you have the PBC era of boxing, which has further illustrated the fractured nature of the sport. It ain't a good thing. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know if it ever gets fixed. I don't know if it behooves the powers involved to actually fix it or to eradicate some of these issues. Who knows? But that's a job for the people who really have the power and influence. Here's one from Joshua. Dan the Man, Raphael, says, Roman Gonzalez, David Lemieux return March 12th. Who are their opponents and the latest on Canelo's next fight? Gabe, Roman Gonzalez, there's a lot of reports out there of Giovanni Segura. Let me just say this. If that's the fight, shame on HBO for greenlighting that. Ugh. I've heard that it's not finalized, but I think that's an absolute butchering. As for David Lemieux, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of him fighting Willie Monroe. I don't know if the style is something that they want to face, but I think with David Lemieux coming off of a fight with Golovkin, I don't get the sense that his management, led by Camille Estefan, is in a hurry to face another puncher. Do you?
Not anytime soon. No, I mean, you got to get him his confidence back, get him back into his rhythm of you know, what he does best. And, you know, I think when David lost to Marco Antonio Rubio and Joaquim Alcin back-to-back, I think a lot of things had come off, you know, a lot of wheels had started to come off the wagon. I don't think he was training with the focus that he needed to be at that top level. I mean, his own trainer, Russ Amber, at the time was like, we're not ready for Rubio. And when you're not ready for Rubio, that's saying a lot. And then they weren't. But now, you know, looking at his preparation for Golovkin, he's really kind of gone to another level and understanding how to push himself. But so now it's all psychological. You got to get him back to doing those things and then get him some confidence. I think Willie Monroe would be good, although, you know, that it's a tough style to get confidence against, you know?
Yes.
Be chasing the guy all night. So I don't know, but I think that's in the neighborhood. How about Caleb Truax?
Okay, here's one from Coach Larry. I want an explanation on why it's easy to find El Chapo than it is to get a decent goddamn fight signed in 2016. Easy. The government there didn't have to deal with the PBC. That's my explanation.
There you go. What Steve said. I don't know. You know, answering the El Chapo question, it would take a whole other show. But I just think things are starting to shape up. People are a little bit impatient. I mean, Thurman Porter, when that came on the dock, you know, onto the calendar there, I was like, all right. You know, we're starting to see some light from that other side. I still think Garcia Guerrero might actually give us more action than we're expecting. I don't know if that pushes either, you know, pushes Garcia into the elite level or further down. I mean, talk about a guy that had that big win, like Wilder, against Matisse and has done nothing but regress ever since. I think this is a kind of a make or break at the top level year for Danny Garcia. He's got to really find his form again. And, you know, enough of the close decisions that he didn't win. He's really got to make a statement here early on in the first part of this year.
If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. This is National Championship Monday, so we're cutting things off in about 66 minutes. Gabe,
That's
let's
hilarious.
Get to the phone lines.
You got it. 619, you're live on the next round. 619.
Yeah, Juan, is that you?
It is me. How are you doing, guys? Happy New Year.
Good.
Happy New
Welcome
Year.
Aboard.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I do nominate Sully B. War Twitter Fight as Fight of the Year, early candidate. Dude. I was like, looking at that, I was like, dude, I'm entertained. I'm finally entertained with a war fight. But on a serious note, you know, I've been watching the sport for almost 30 years, and you know, I'm rooting for boxing. You know, I want boxing to succeed. I want it to be big. At least I want boxers to give, you know, to boxing to be back to where it used to be. But lately, you know, I think everybody's making boxing take a step backwards. And I was wondering what your take is on the position of boxing versus other sports right now. What do you think? How do you think boxing ranks in popularity versus other sports? To me, at least, from my position, it's just taking a backseat now to MMA and other, you know, other, even soccer here in the U.S. They're more popular than boxing now, and that's sad to see because.
Gabe, I'll say this. If you're Dana White, you gotta love what the PBC has done to the business of boxing. I'm being dead serious about that.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I was watching tape on Charles Martin, and it was funny to me because I was like watching his developmental fights, which he's still in, I think. But, you know, I was watching kind of like more club show environments, and then he's on a PBC card. And the one thing that didn't change was the opponent level. And I kind of like, you look at the PBC and it's like, all right, they've put on all these bells and whistles and make it look nice or whatever. They try to, you know, they want entourages in the ring and get rid of all that bad stuff. But ultimately it comes down to the fight and the product. And I'm not really seeing that across the board. You're getting little things here and there. But overall, no, you know, and I don't think that you can reform a sport by excluding people that have been doing it for 30, 40 years.
And I'm going to tell you what I think about that, what my concern is. Look, I think of 2015 and 2014, and other than a couple of so-so fights, because they weren't that great, they were good, like the Vargas-Miori fight. That was a good fight, but it wasn't that epic, you know. It didn't feature any names in the first place. So it was a couple of unknown guys that just gave a very spirited effort. But in the end, you know, you want to see the big names fight and make a good fight. So one of the main things that I see, and this is something I disagree with you guys, and I usually don't disagree with you guys, but I think boxers getting more money is actually not good because they're not hungry for anything anymore. And they you can see it in the way they fight. They're playing the safe role because the stakes are so high that if they lose, they feel they're going to lose all the money instead of thinking, you know, if I win this fight, maybe I'll become a bigger fighter and people will like me more. People are just trying not to engage,
well,
not to lose.
Juan, yes. Let me tell you something. I've never been on that bandwagon that it's great that Al Haymon is playing Robin Hood. And what that dynamic you speak of only exists really with the PBC, in large part. And I believe that fighters should be paid in commensurate with their value and their achievement. And once that's thrown off, well, you see what's happening.
Yeah, and the other thing, I can see it like this week with BJ Saunders and Gennady Golovkin. The guy was asking for I don't know how many millions, and you're like, yeah, dude, what have you done? You know, why do you think you deserve so much money? Because you got a little bit better? Nobody knows you. No, you know, you're not even that good at all. You know, just because you're going to face Triple G, it means you can make $4 million. To me, that's what's killing the sport. You know, the amount of money that people ask and think they deserve. Guys like Andre Ward staying on the, you know, back seat just waiting for them to receive those millions of dollars he's talking about. And in the end, you know, it only hurts the sport because the sport's not going anywhere. People think they can make a lot of money by not doing anything, and that just stops everything. Guys like Mikey Garcia, good fighters that seem to have good talent that think they deserve more. And just finally, what you were saying about Marcus Cotto, you know, if you really do think about it, Cotto has been hasn't been in his prime for at least 5 years. You know, I saw him get destroyed by Manny Pacquiao. I saw him get beat up by Austin Trout, and suddenly he's still there. I don't know why. But if you really think about it, if you think about that Marcus Cotto proposal, the reason why those fights keep happening is because those guys, they were the guys people remember that did fight. You know, at least they give it all. And the new guys, they're not fighting. So even if you want the new generation to walk in and take the spotlight, they don't deserve it, man. I don't see any single fighter right now of the new guys that actually deserves my money yet. And, you know, that's just my opinion. Terrence Crawford might be, but he still needs to prove it. I don't think he's there yet. But the moment I see those guys actually give a fight of the year, one of those alleged new superstars, then I'll start paying attention to those guys. Triple G's still my favorite fighter, though. Just wanted to let you know.
All right, Juan, you have been heard. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Gabe, if you read my column today on UCN Live, I get it. B.J. Saunders wants to parlay this title. But let me tell you something. When he, from what I understand from industry sources, he made about $400,000 to fight Andy Lee.
Right.
The package to fight Golovkin is over $3 million. I don't think he's ever made more than $1 million. That's my assumption.
Right.
And
no,
now, he's saying, yeah. Well, now he's got to come to the UK. He's just better off saying, nah, you know what, let's do this later.
I don't think he's saying – I mean, I get where he's coming from, and that's the first offer, not just from Golovkin, but that's the first offer he's entertaining. And when you get a title, it's like, you know, a license to open up your business, you know, because there's four titles, and he's overseas, and he doesn't have the same problem that David Lemieux had, which is, you know, if you want to be, you know, a title holder in North America in the middleweight division and move to the next level, you want to be on HBO – well, you're going to have to fight Golovkin. So he had to do that. You know, Saunders doesn't necessarily have to do that. And let's not forget that, you know, Canelo is the true cash cow in that division. I'm not quite sure how much more, maybe $2-3 million more. But beating him, maybe that does something even more for you. He's got to entertain that offer before he gets to it. I think that one big problem is how much of this stuff gets negotiated in the press. We have this 24-hour news cycle. Anything somebody says, all of a sudden becomes the story, and we're negotiating for them. But I agree with you, though. You know, he's got to – at some point with Juan, you got to risk for glory. You know, we celebrate people, the great ones, because they risked. You know, and that's it's a interesting algorithm to find out how much money can you give somebody and they still retain that savagery that they can bring into the ring and still entertain us. You watch Manny Pacquiao used to fight with such abandon. And now he's a $14 million fighter, and he doesn't fight that way anymore. You know, you look at him in the Mayweather fight, and he's very tame. So it is a delicate thing. To me, if the PBC was really trying to fix the business, let's hear about these guys' health care. Let's hear about their pensions. Let's hear about, like, you know, maybe an incentive program where you kind of graduate up in money. It's not just slapping them with money right at the top and then telling them that they're great and they're going to be doing pay-per-views with Golovkin or a joint thing and kind of delusions of grandeur, kind of like build it from the ground up. And I'm not seeing that. They can't even get their drug testing program straight. But
just think about the Saunders offer for Golovkin, which he basically put out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than Peter Quillen and Danny Jacobs, what they got combined on December 5th. Mind-boggling. 347-215-7598. We're here for about another hour. Steve Kim, Gabe Montoya on the next round. Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, for that money, you know, I'd go right to it. But isn't it kind of saying, like, well, when they say it's a tough, tough fight, it's like, look, we're going to lose that fight. Is it worth it? You know, is the money we're going to get from that fight worth what we could maybe string
well,
along in some defenses?
Well, Gabe, but again, that's what I mentioned, though. Risk versus reward. Everyone talks about, oh, my God, the money, which is the reward. The downside is the risk.
Yeah.
That's what people aren't talking about, is that when you face Golovkin, you're not just going to get outpointed over 12 rounds. Most likely, you're probably going to get bludgeoned physically. So
yeah,
that's kind of the equation or the algorithm that you're like, you got to calculate this in your head. Like, it's one thing to lose. Do I want to be punished? And then punished how bad? And then, and what's it worth to me?
That's the thing, and they're rare, man. You know, like I watched Bird Abe Abuchi today. Sounds like this guy with no power, who's a true 160, is getting in there with this monster, and he gets knocked out for his troubles. But you know, where are those guys at risk? Those are the guys that we, you know, that they're to be great. Those are the ones we worship. The rest, we probably forget about them. 530, you're live on the next round.
Good evening, guys. It's Ringside Robert here.
Robbie, what's going on?
Not much, but do you think, Steve, that one of the reasons why Golovkin is even considering offering Saunders a fight here is if he wins this fight, it gives him more negotiating stance when he goes to negotiate with Canelo for September?
Well, I think, again, as the hashtag has stated clearly, it's all the belts. Gennady Golovkin believes symbolically having all the belts is a marker of history, much like Bernard Hopkins and Marvin Hagler. And in your vein, yes, if he beats the other belt holders, it does basically take away another option for Saul Alvarez, in essence. So I think both of those factors are at play.
Because I think it's ironic if Golovkin fights Saunders and Canelo fights, say, Gabriel Rosado, you know, you've got one basically having a tune-up fight to stay busy, and you have, on the other end, a guy collecting another belt. It's quite an interesting dynamic. But I want to comment on Juan's point about the popularity of boxing. It's pretty bad when other podcasts are out there and their main topic is they're talking about Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. That, to me, that's not a boxing story. That's just two people trying to keep their name in the press for different publicity reasons. Boxing is boxing. That kind of story doesn't need to exist. I mean, that's one reason why I enjoy this show, is because every topic that's brought up here, it's boxing related. We don't talk about Dana White unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, by the way, and again, I don't want to fall into that trap, but don't you think Floyd Mayweather is saying a lot of these supposedly provocative, insightful things because, quite frankly, he misses the spotlight, and this is his way of staying relevant,
which, in essence,
at the end of the day, will lead, and please groan with me, his return to the ring.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. He's doing it for two reasons. One, he wants to keep his name out there because he's not officially retired. He's going to come back. I just know it's going to happen. And number two, this is his way of promoting his name because he does have a promotional company and he is kind of responsible for the fighters that he's got signed. And if he stays quiet, Mayweather promotion kind of fades by the wayside kind of thing. Those are the two
reasons
why.
Maybe he should stop talking about mixed martial artists and start talking about his own fighters.
I got a question for Floyd right now, who I'm sure is an avid listener to the next round. When's his next card? When's his next show? When is Maurice Lee fighting again? I mean, Maurice Lee is a talented young athlete that I've known for a while, and ever since he joined the Mayweather gym and TMT, he sure posts on Instagram a lot more than he fights.
Well, what about Bobby Jack, who has a title, Steve? I mean,
yeah.
You have a legitimate champion there that should be getting ready for his next fight. We don't hear a thing from Mayweather Promotions in regards to Bobby Jack.
Interesting.
That's
we
because,
don't.
You know, they're all quote-unquote sham promoters, you know. I mean, it's we're going to find out in this discovery phase. I'm sure we'll get to this story later on in the show. But, man, I can't wait. I cannot wait for these lawsuits to move forward. I want to know how this all works. You know, why isn't there seem to be a clear plan from each of these promoters for their fighters? And then all of a sudden they're just on a PBC card.
Yeah, I know I can completely understand where Juan is coming from. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, I don't see it changing anytime soon. And the one guy you do have to support in this sport, if you want to spend money on anybody, has to be Gennady Golovkin. He's the only one in this sport that has totally proven that he's willing to fight whoever they put in front of him, and you don't see him backing out of any fights.
I don't disagree. Robbie, thank you for joining us.
See ya.
Let's take one or two more calls, and we will talk about that. As Bob Arum in Top Rank, their lawsuit, it was ruled last week, which was amended, will be allowed to continue. 347-215-7598, Gabe.
We're going to have to get like a legal expert for the next round. 860, you're live on the next round.
Hey, how you guys doing? CT.
CT, what's going on?
Happy New Year.
You too.
Like to, thank you. I'd like to talk about the two fights this coming weekend. I was going to get you guys' input. On the Glasgow and Cunningham fight, it was really close. I had Cunningham edging it. Did you guys have it, Glasgow?
I had it 7-5, Steve Cunningham. I could see a draw. But I thought that fight, halfway through it, it said to me, and this is where I coined the phrase, Jagskoff, that he's just another guy.
I believe I had Cunningham winning it, but I could have seen the draw, but I'd have to go back and rescore it. But, you know, I'd also have to put
Gabe, do yourself a favor. Don't do that.
Sure. I like tape research, but not that much.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to make a statement in this fight. I think even though the style is different from Martin and Cunningham, I think Glasgow is going to come out a little bit more aggressive. I think Martin has – you know, some skill level. He's a southpaw, so it'll make it interesting in his height and stuff like that. But I think all in all, I think Glasgow's the better fighter. I think he might get a late stoppage in this fight.
BT, you are on the record.
Oh, and if I could just pick one more.
Yeah,
I got
please.
Wilder winning. Still cut.
CT, you're not exactly going on a limb there. I just... CT, looking ahead... Do you agree with me and Gabe, who are in the minority, that Deontay Wilder's size, height, and athleticism really do give Alexander Povetkin fits? Or are we crazy?
It's kind of hard to say because, I mean, he has some athletic ability, but some of it, I think that Povetkin can take advantage of. The only thing I keep thinking about with Povetkin is that I can't get that Klitschko fight out of my head. I mean, I know Klitschko definitely leaned on him a lot of the fight, but he got caught with some pretty good shots. And it's going to be interesting to see how he takes Wilder's shots, you know? I think it'll be a very interesting fight, though.
CT, you are on the record. Anything else we could do for you?
That's it. Thank you.
347-215-7598. We are here until 8:30 Eastern time on National Championship Monday, Gabe.
Yeah, this is weird to me, too. Am I crazy, but it's Glasgow Martin, not just for the IBF title, but to see if Al Haymon has now two pieces of the heavyweight title or Mendes might end up with it?
It is what it is. Listen,
a shitty fight to be
people
so
can say that these belts don't matter, and you know who they are. They matter. And everything that happens in the sport, not in this abstract reality, the actual business, like this situation, is important. BJ Saunders without a belt is not getting offers for $3 million against anybody.
Right.
So again, when people say everyone should drop the belts, they're meaningless. Really? Really?
Yeah, depends on the level. And in this, I mean, this is like a super shitty, super pivotal fight in a political sense. You know, I mean, with Al Haymon having two, they can maybe move towards a unification match for Wilder. Should he win his next fight? Should he get past Povetkin? And then all of a sudden he kind of legitimizes himself as the American heavyweight champion and maybe never have to deal with Tyson Fury.
If Glasgow should somehow win the fight, you don't think that's an important component for Cathy Duva in main events and that the state of Russia, the country of Russia, wouldn't go nuts over having their own heavyweight champion?
No, that'd be huge.
I'm just saying, we can be honest about it and say that Glasgow Martin is to determine who is the JV backup heavyweight champion. We wouldn't be wrong. But with that said, there's still an economic stimulus that comes with being the IBF heavyweight champion. Gabe, who else is on the line?
There's one last thing. It'd be interesting to see Main Events, a company that actually can promote, get that title holder versus, you know, Martin being with the PBC and their multitude of quote-unquote promoters. 8:05, you're live on the next round.
8:05. What's up,
Nacho? Hey, what's up,
Nacho? Nacho, what's going on?
Nothing much. As far as the Wilder fight is concerned, I give Spilka a pretty good chance because, I'm sorry, when you defend against two semi-journeymen like Eric Molina and Johan, I don't even know how to say his last name, and those guys make you go life and death with them before you finally beat them, then I'm not convinced that Deontay Wilder is legit.
That's a legit argument.
Yeah,
I just
and
Spilka just doesn't look that strong to me. I was just watching him, you know. And granted, like Wilder isn't all over you and using his physical strength all the time. He's starting to learn how to do that, how to body up on somebody and kind of weigh on them and tire them out that way. I just wonder if he's going to be able to do much. I am curious about the southpaw style and if that's going to matter. But then again, the best punch against a southpaw is a right hand, and that's probably Wilder's best punch. So. It's like all Wilder fights, I think they'll be a little more exciting than everybody on his side would want it to be.
True. And also, I was wondering, Jorge Linares, I don't even know how to say that dude's name.
Oh, Glutpaticon. Yeah, it's mandatory.
Did HBO honestly not even care about making that fight from what I've read? Because
what I
just
was
went
told
to
is because of the timing of when that fight had to happen, HBO told Golden Boy that they probably did not have enough time or room on its schedule for the first quarter of the year. And again, let me just point this out. This is a fact. That's a very good fight. I think that's 50-50. You know who made that fight happen? A sanctioning body. Just saying.
Yep. Well, that's a really good point. That's going to be all action, man. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm going to pick Linares in that fight or not. You know, and that guy is one of the more beautiful boxers, but the most beautiful thing about him is how vulnerable he is. That's an early paper potential fight of the year.
Yeah, the chin always puts him in danger, and that's kind of what I'm worried about because this the Lakanin guy can crack. I mean, he dropped Ricky Burns. And he beat down Redcatch, so I think he definitely is going to give him a fight for sure. And also, I was going to say, is it true that Frankie Gomez is actually going to be fighting February 5th?
Yes, he has been officially added to that card at the Fantasy Springs. Now, you can insert your own punchline. What they did was last week, Golden Boy brought him into the office. And they had a pre-weigh-in, and I think the weight's going to be somewhere in the mid-40s as they begin their quest to go down to junior welterweight eventually. And they basically said to Frankie, if you're not in like the 155, 156 range, we're not going to even schedule you. Based on them scheduling him officially today, I guess he hit that benchmark.
Jesus, he has to be within 10 pounds just to get a fight. Oh, my God.
That's brutal. The holidays are tough.
Yeah. True. I guess he couldn't lay off the tamales and the pozole. That's for sure.
Hey, can any of us, though? Can any of us, though? Really?
No, I'm not saying no, any of us can, but like you said, Steve, about Brandon Rios, when you're making a lot of money and you don't have a day job, it shouldn't be that hard to stay in shape.
I've always said it about Frankie Gomez. There is some ability. Don't know if he has any passion for this sport. And I've been very frank about that.
Yeah, exactly. And my last question, too, I saw the back and forth on Twitter over the weekend. Is Sullivan Barrera actually going to get the Andre Ward fight? And is the only reason the Andre Ward fight not, I mean, the only reason it hasn't been signed yet is because Ward is trying to keep all of the licensing fee from HBO, because from the numbers I've read, he's talking about $350,000 is what he's offering him.
That seems to be right, but again, we don't know the division of money. I mean, everyone always throws out a license fee, not understanding the fighter doesn't get that whole total. You know, and again, I'm not a manager, I'm not Shelley Finkel, I'm not Cameron Duncan. Fighters don't take fights that we think are good deals. When it's all said and done, Gabe, they're the ones who are affected by it, not us. It's not my job to tell people what deals to take. But you know what? The way I look at it, we should all just enjoy the Twitter carnage.
The most punches thrown in an Andre Ward fight in years. Although
most entertaining back and forth he'll ever be involved in.
Yeah, he's like, look, it's the only time I'm going back and forth with you. So he eventually just kind of went to the ropes, got into his defensive shell and stayed there, and been getting wailed on. And yeah, I don't know if Sully Barrera can beat him. I don't see him as a complete fighter yet. You know, he's very raw.
I agree with you.
You know, I wouldn't pick him to win, but I'd watch. You know, it could be a fun fight. It could be one of those fights you lose by decision, but it's a benchmark for you, and you go on to greater things. But again, that's a guy I want to watch because he's willing to risk himself against the best people. He's not second-guessing and looking at his other options.
It is funny, though, that Andre Ward is talking like he's Pacquiao or Mayweather, Cotto or Canelo. That's where I'm just like, again, the delusion is one way I would describe Andre Ward. Anyway,
yeah,
listen, thanks for the call. Call us next week. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who else is on the line?
787, you're live on the next round.
Hi, guys.
Oh, no introduction needed here.
How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Same to you.
First of all, guys, do you know if there is any American network that will pick up the Frampton Quick Fight?
It'll be HBO. I've been told HBO, they kind of look at the fight. It doesn't really fit with some of their other parts, so I think it's probably down to Showtime at this point.
And second of all, guys, two questions. The first one is, I saw William Silva in December on the Cabrejo card. He looked pretty good. What kind of problem do you think he gave Verdejo on the fight on February? And the second thing is, what's your opinion on the talk that is coming about Marquez Cotto? I know both guys probably should be retired by now, but do you think that could be a fun fight? And that's a huge event, in my opinion.
I think there's some interest because they each have built-in fan bases. It's the whole Puerto Rican-Mexican rivalry. As far as I'm concerned, winner and loser should leave town. Don't want to be a complete cynic about it, but I've had enough of that generation, that crew. As for William Silva, I think it's the theme of the day. Gabe, there's a reason why they chose him.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a big guy, but, you know, that's going to be an interesting test. But, you know, he's only fought a couple times away from Brazil. You know, I think he fought in California, the Florentine Gardens, and then in Puerto Rico. So, you know, yeah, like Steve says, I mean, I imagine there's a lack of amateur background or there's something there that they
very soft, Gabe. If you look at his opposition coming into this fight, his strength of schedule, not the strongest.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, I mean, I think the size and the reach are going to be issues for Verdejo, but I think the class will probably show.
And one last thing, guys. What will Guy Ricci finally get in the ring, or is he not fighting? Or is he not fighting on the card with Pacquiao Bradley?
Oh, Ike Iwabuchi?
Yeah.
I'm being led to believe that that's not going to happen. There might be some issues getting him licensed on time. So, you know, again, Gabe, I saw what you were tweeting a couple of days ago. I'm with you. Until there's some real proof that he's gone through some psychological evaluations, and I'm actually doing a story on this where I did interview Mike Contz, the advisor, when I did ask him those questions, I don't know. I don't think necessarily, even for boxing, this is a rubber stamp process to get him licensed in the state of Nevada.
Especially, you look at his history, and there's those two big cases, you know, the one that sent him to jail, and then the one where he paralyzed the kid in the car crash. But then there's a lot of other cases out there of sexual misconduct or people thinking that he was acting inappropriate. This was a history in there. And there was actually somebody from boxing that reached out to me while I was on my sabbatical, and I have a feeling that they're reaching out to tell me about Ike Iwobuchi. And it's, you know, this is one of those ones where it's like, that's boxing isn't going to cover it for me. I mean, you know, everybody's entitled to make their money. You know, people that go away to prison, I understand that you do your time, you know, you come back. But like I said on the previous show, being in jail wasn't his problem. It was being in society. So I don't know. You know, I don't know about this one.
And Gabe, I'm all for it. He served his time. No argument. I'm not even here to retry his cases. They were what they were. They were hideous crimes. He got sentenced, and he did his time. But then we have to go beyond that. Was he actually helped? Did he come out a different, better person 16 years later? That's the real question.
I'm not trying to be cynical, but did we let Mike Tyson fight like 3 weeks after he was convicted from jail? He fought Peter McNeely. I'm not saying that's a great fight, but are we judging both guys with different standards?
That's a fair question. Well, one guy generated the kind of money that Tyson generated, and the other guy is Ike Iwobuchi.
Yeah, I understand that. But if we let Tyson, after he was convicted of rape, fight 3 weeks after he was, like, 3 weeks, maybe a month, something like that, then
I'll be honest, I don't think those cases are completely analogous. I really don't.
That's the thing. I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, victim shaming or any of that stuff, retrying the cases, but there's a lot of people that feel that Mike's case was not quite on the up and up, whereas the other case was a case of, like, imprisoning somebody in the hotel room who was, like, fearing for their life over an extended period of time. Two different things. And again, there's a long history. Just go to Ike Iwobuchi's Wikipedia page, which should be saying the best things about somebody.
Yeah, they have.
I know people that were very afraid to be around him in any atmosphere. And he was a scary guy. I'm just telling you. Anyway, Javier, we got to get running. Thank you for the call. Big story late last week. The fights inside the ring and so far in 2016 have not been very good, or the ones that are set up. And I have a feeling this is going to be a theme for the year, unfortunately.
Mm.
But let the games begin in the courtroom. I cannot wait for the process of discovery and the deposition as it relates to these lawsuits involving Al Haymon, Golden Boy, and Top Rank. Oh, I can't wait.
And really, like, I don't know the rules about this. Like I said, we need to get a legal expert on here or a lawyer of some kind. But the next ruling I want to hear about is, will it be televised? You know, I mean, they're all about free, you know, getting boxing back on network TV.
Well,
I'm not a Quick TV or a C-SPAN guy. Oh, every once in a while, a C-SPAN guy. But, boy, I would be all about it with this. I would return to the sport just to cover this. It's going to be great.
Gabe, I'd rather buy the pay-per-view of the depositions and the cross-examining more than I am Pacquiao Bradley. They could gladly take my $75 for that.
Oh, I'd be buying the HD, the 4K. You know, just give me the whole thing. I might have to get a digital projector, just some popcorn, like a popcorn machine. Yeah, no, this is going to be good. I mean, and this will finally kind of pull the rhetoric curtain back of it's free and it's for the fighters. And no, you know, all these promoters that are working with them are all working independent. Maybe they're working in tandem, but is that a good thing? You know, I was even thinking today, you know, just looking at this, like, and this is kind of just off to the side, but, you know, watching the promoter Oscar De La Hoya rise from the ashes in his company, but then the rise of his brother, who's a manager, and a lot of his fighters are going to Golden Boy. You know, as a press person, you have to keep an eye on that relationship. so that make sure that people are looking out for the fighters and not just for each other running this company. And it's the same thing here, man. I want to know, you know, why did all, you know, like Mike Tyson Promotions, that was being shoved down our throats, and then boom, they disappear. All of a sudden, Erickson Lubin's with these other guys. Nobody says anything. It's just all kind of swept under the rug. People like yourself who are insiders know what happened, but the rest of us are like, what happened to Mike Tyson Promotions? And then meantime, all his fighters are being, you know, PBC-ized. I want to know what's really going on, and we're about to find out.
Oh, as Terrell Owens once said, as only he could, get your popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. We'll have fight review, or excuse me, fight preview, as we wrap it up here. I see Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler. So, yes, kickoff is near, Gabe.
All right. 3-2-3, you're live on the next round.
Hello, guys. Just wanted to see if you guys heard any new news from Tom Loeffler on either Chocolatito or Triple G's front.
All I know is that Gennady Golovkin will be fighting April 23rd. They've got three venues reserved in L.A., New York, and Texas. I get the sense the B.J. Saunders fight is going to Bolivian. And as it relates to Chocolatito, I think some of the reports, I'm hoping and praying, of Giovanni Segura are premature. And that's the latest I can give you.
All right, thanks, Sam. One other thing that I wanted to talk about was, like, all I hear, you know, when Floyd Mayweather comes out and makes a comment like he made, all of a sudden always fans come out and start going racist against other Caucasian boxers, saying that they don't get paid, that African Americans don't get paid enough and all of this, when all the sport should really be run, should be just like how you said it, where, you know, whoever brings the value gets how they get paid.
Well, you know, again, you know what the elephant in the room is, and I might get into trouble for saying it. These very same people, and I do believe a lot of them are race baiters. I'm just going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually support their own favorite boxers. When you go to a fight, just check out the demographics of who is buying a ticket and truly supporting the sport. And I'll just leave it at that.
There you go.
What I do.
It's
what I do. Thank you very much. Yeah, Gabe, I said it.
It's, you know, I don't disagree. And that, and like Doug in his last two Monday.
Oh, Doug. Woo, Doug. Oh, boy.
He's really laid it down well. As a man of color, as a African, as he calls himself. You know, I love, you know, just all the stuff that he breaks down, you know, from Money X's kind of just empty rhetoric. I love Money X, by the way. I just think that's the best name for Floyd yet, but it's true. Like, well, there was a new one. He came out and was saying, well, the media is just attacking Bill Cosby. And, you know, these accusations are 30, 40 years old. Who cares? And well, one, you know, the allegation is actually the one that got the criminal case finally was in 2004, allegedly. So that there goes that fact. It's kind of the same thing when Floyd's giving, you know, business advice and he can't name any of the people involved. That, you know, if TMZ shows up with a camera, if you see that it's Floyd Mayweather and TMZ, you can just move on. You don't have to eat the Big Mac.
So, Gabe, by that standard, those racists who blew up churches during the Civil Rights Movement, that's 50, 60 years ago. Let's move on.
Right.
Does that
Except
fly?
It's still happening. But
does that fly? It shouldn't.
It doesn't fly. It's like saying to somebody, you know, well, slavery, you know, over a long time ago, why don't you stop bringing it up? You can't do that. I mean, you know, one,
yeah,
it's just completely terrible and evil and wrong, but, you know, it's just not the way it works. You can't denigrate one group in order to raise another group up. That, and,
you know,
I'm sorry, but I've marched in this city with police all around me and all the way to City Hall, a threat to my person. And believe me, Steve, I was much more scared of the police attacking me than Pauly Malignaggi or Alex Ariza. It was a very real threat around me. And Floyd Mayweather, this is the first time he's mentioned it, and all of a sudden he's Malcolm X. Like, nah, man. Like, you can bring it up because it's a problem, but don't get on a high horse and don't denigrate other people.
You know, I think, again, do I think he's trying to be some civil rights leader? No, doesn't have the intelligence. This is not Malcolm X. By the way, I watched that movie again last week. Denzel did a hell of a job. But anyway, back to my point. This is just shameless pandering to a certain demographic that Doug has deemed, this is a good one, the money teamsters. Jimmy Hoffa, wherever his grave is rolling over very angrily. Doug, beware. Beware, Doug!
He might actually be laughing at that, but that's the money teamsters. I like that. Might be rolling over with laughter. Let's we've got a few more calls here before kickoff. 510, you're live on the next round. 510. All right. Our first knockdown of the year. 510 is out. 714, you are live on the next round. 714. Boom. Two in a row. 619, you are live on the next round. 619. Going once. I am flying through them, Steve. You might actually get to your kickoff beer a little early. 650, you're live on the next round. 650, dropped.
Are these spam bots listening to us?
I don't know. 978. Jimmy's Corner
gentlemen,
is in effect.
Is this Jimmy's Corner?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Well, pull up a seat.
Hey, listen, Steve, I'm telling you, promotion, that's part of your gig. You did it a few weeks ago with J-Rock. I saw over the weekend. You got what's his name there? The Sullivan Barrera.
Sully B, my man.
That was great. He was getting himself going. He needs to tighten up. I don't know if Abel Sanchez. I've only seen one of his fights with him. But what do you think of him? Seriously.
Here's what I think. He's come a long way in a couple of years, and he's still got a long ways to go.
Exactly. I think he tightening up. He when he comes into the attack, he either lets his punches go way too early, or when he gets in, he smothers. But again, that's the pro game, and I think Abel Sanchez will teach him to set down. But I'd like to see the fight, because he is a warrior, and I think the kid will come to fight. But he'll definitely have to pick his hands up because, for even with all the ring rust, which I think a lot of boxing, reading Twitter and social media, people just don't give enough credit. Boxing, like any other sport, you can't. There's nothing like game day, you know what I mean? You can't simulate that. And these guys who don't fight Thurman, Porter, these guys who don't fight enough, it's every part of your body. Your brain gets used to getting hit hard. There's just certain things you have to continuously do, and that's why, when they hand you your contract to PBC, I bet you the first thing they say, learn the word stagnation, because that's where your career is going to be now.
But Jimmy, do you remember last year at this point when – it started to be peeled back, the plan of the PBC. And, Gabe, I know you heard this. All of our guys are going to be busy, and our marquee guys at the top level are all going to fight 3-4 times a year. Wasn't that one of their clear stated mission statements?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was
even
excited.
Throughout
that's
the year,
why
like,
so
heading
far.
Towards the end, I heard that. That people were saying, look, guys, you naysayers, just get ready for the next part because next year is going to be even more. And I don't necessarily blame the fighters. I mean, you got to blame somebody for signing the contract and going along with a plan. But it does seem like Porter and Thurman have wanted to fight and yet haven't been able to, which, again, I can't wait for Discovery.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, you guys brought that up. I can't wait for them to drag his ass in court because they have to make all that public, even if they're not going to let cameras in. Not enough – listen, promoters, managers, yes. But fighters at the end of the day, if they really want to fight, they'll fight. They have more pull than
anyone. Yep.
They should have more blame put on them. If they want to fight – like Gennady. Gennady's a fighter. I'll tell you right now, if there was a zombie land, all right, you'd run into him in the desert, maybe you're having some free fighting match. Fighters fight. These guys
– I'm not sure about that, Jimmy. I disagree. I heard all the zombies are signed up as B-sides to the PBC. I had to say it. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, Jimmy.
By the way,
back in the day, that's hilarious. If you wanted to make a fight, you could go to the press and start calling a guy out and kind of building it, and it's been done. But when you look at the advisory contract, You can't talk ill about the PBC.
Nope.
You can't talk bad about Al. So you start to get into that place. I mean, you notice, remember Thurman was being very, very vocal. It's about maybe 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and all of a sudden it kind of went away.
Exactly.
You kind of wonder why
he
that is.
Right up. Even his Twitter, he just stopped tweeting things. He just stopped bringing up everything. I don't know if that was because, who knows, maybe that'll be brought up in court. Is he telling fighters, are the gag orders in place? Are they not supposed to say certain things? The only time you hear Al Haynes.
Oh, they're not. No, Jimmy, let me tell you something. That type of stuff is strongly, strongly discouraged within the PBC.
I hope that comes out. I hope it all. Oh, by the way, speaking of PBC, I literally, before I called in, just to see, I called the Barclays Center for this Saturday night, okay? You can still get, fans might want to know, you can get 12 rows from the ring up to 8 seats together. WBC world title fight, heavyweight, 8 seats together, 12 rows from the ring. Are you kidding me?
So, Jimmy, you and your 7 best friends, what are you guys going up there?
Oh, my God. They'll just pass them out anyways. You know, the night of the fight, if they have to fill it up, they'll just be grabbing people off the street.
Jimmy, Mark, or my good friend Pac-Man Clark, Peter Clark, sent me something in the morning, and he charts this very well. Because a lot of this stuff you could look up, just got to do some research, and Peter's become very well-versed at this. He sent me some charts of the seating of the Barclay. It seems to me, or him, excuse me, that they have scaled the arena for around 8,000 to 9,000, which is less than half of the capacity of that venue. And there's still, as they say, plenty of tickets available.
What was explained to me was they're only allowing the lower tiers to be open. And if they do open the top tiers, it'll only be the section. Probably whatever can get screened, seen on TV. I mean, sure, that's probably their biggest thing. And also, I mean, the polka pugilist. I mean, if this guy doesn't smoke, if Wilder doesn't take him out quickly, it's just, not only is it a bad fight that you don't really care to watch, but it's actually going to do him major disservice. If he doesn't smoke this guy, flat-footed, he comes swinging. I've seen kids swinging at pinatas with better balance. He comes in and he just smothers himself with punches. I mean, I just watched a few of his videos at lunch on YouTube. Oh, my God. He is just screaming for a tall guy with a good right uppercut. And that's the one punch I think, Dante has, a decent right uppercut. But he's got to take him out. If he doesn't take him out and this thing goes the distance, wow.
I think it is the classic example of that phrase, no-win situation. Because if you knock him out in one or two rounds, as Chris Rock likes to say, you did what you're supposed to. You don't get any credit. Now, if this thing goes to the 9th, 10th round, then it becomes an indictment on your performance.
Exactly. It's a no-win. So, but you know what? They all signed on that dotted line. Do you know when – do you have any idea when they're supposed to call Heyman in? Or is that still in,
spoke to Daniel Petrocelli, who's the lead attorney – for Top Rank, and I asked him, has this process begun or has it been in place? And he said, Steve, with the ruling that went down today, and I believe that was Thursday, he said it begins now and it will take a few months.
Okay.
For all the process of discovery, the evidence, getting whatever you need to do to dig up, and then they'll start calling people in.
Hey, can I say one more thing before I know you?
Please do.
Paulie Malignaggi, his radio show. I was going to leave it in the ring, excited. It said, also you can follow. So I just hit the site, and it lists all his things. It said, Paulie on a rant about ISIS. Okay, I'm like, then all of a sudden on his page it says, he taught politics. So I'm like, okay, Paulie Malignaggi on politics. Without any misinclusion. So I flip it over, right, and I put it on. And swear to God, one of his lackeys, first off, like 3 times he tells him, all right, shut up. And he says, yeah, they can't fucking do that shit. Swear to God, I'm like, wow.
You know, when I want to talk about foreign policy, if it's not Hillary Clinton or George Will, it's Paulie Malignaggi.
It's true. It's very true.
Right? It just is a laugh. I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about Paulie Malignaggi.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
I'm president of his fan club. What are you talking about? I got my eyebrows done just like him.
Who was the reporter that he was saying? Were you guys
guys in the room that day when he said somebody made a remark about his lack of power, and he said, I'll knock out anybody. You know, basically asked all the reporters in the room to get in the ring with him and knock them all out within one round. You see that?
Would he be willing to put up money on that?
I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God, did you just – I mean, so now you're going to put people away? Yeah, it was on YouTube. And
that sounds like a testosterone imbalance.
Oh, whoa, whoa, Gabe. Gabe?
Whoa,
Gabe.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, Gabe.
Sorry.
Gabe.
Just looking at his doctor. Allegedly.
Listen, you want to catch a party? I have guys lined up behind me. As usual, it's been awesome to talk to you, gentlemen. I look forward to these tweets all week.
All right, Jimmy. Once again, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy's Corner, our favorite segment on the next round. Gabe, here's a tweet from Evan Young, the Mr. Boxing Forecast. I don't think Spilska is as bad as the caller says. He's lefty, has some skills, and I believe he has decided to take, quote-unquote, shortcut. Huh. Wonder what he means by shortcut.
I have no idea. That's really weird.
Yeah, neither do I.
yeah, you know, I don't know. That Russian doping scandal was last year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, all the PBC fighters are tested by some agency. No one knows. we'll see.
Whoa.
It's free, though. We have one last caller. 650. Apparently being faced
Hello.
By the cops. 650. All right. Boom. That is
all right, well, Gabe, let's go through some news and notes here. And if there's another call or two, we'll pick that up. Still have about 14 minutes. Gabe, here are some fights that are being rumored on the PBC front. Okay? They've been reported by Boxing Scene. Some were tweeted to me. Give me a reaction to this Lethal Weapon 3. Abner Mares, Johnny Gonzalez, the rematch.
Over the
Leo Santa Cruz, Kiko Martinez. And then another rematch, Amir Khan, Lamont Peterson. I want to say it right now, Gabe. This is a hell of a triple header in 2012.
Yeah, I just... Now he's going to fight Johnny Gonzalez. I guess they were letting that marinate like a fine.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll watch because I'm a bloodthirsty savage and I like Abner. But, I mean, Johnny looked like all done in his last time I saw him lose. I think Kiko Martinez, am I supposed to be excited by any of this? I think Peterson Khan has some intrigue. I think that is an interesting fight. I would like to see what Peterson looks like fighting him without a pellet in his ass. If we can get that and actually get this rematch on.
Okay, can you preface that? Okay, for those who don't know, Gabe means testosterone pellet.
Yeah.
So get
exactly.
Your minds out of the gutter.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, for the West Hollywood crowd. No, I haven't been in San Francisco that long. Yeah, he had the testosterone pellet from Dr. John A. Thompson from the Desert Oasis Clinic. I was actually just doing some research on them recently. And he admitted, you know, Peterson, this isn't anything, you know, this rumor or anything. He said it himself. Went to this clinic. They put this slow-release testosterone pellet in his butt. And then he goes out and he beats Amir Khan. And then he got popped during the rematch when he got VADA tested. And they found, lo and behold, synthetic testosterone in his system. And they've been complaining ever since that they got a raw deal, which makes no sense on any planet. I'd actually like to see that fight. They're still two viable fighters. They look very strong, you know, and they're experienced. They got bad blood between them. Khan's got to do something. He's got to make some sort of stand, some sort of statement. He's got Andre Ward syndrome. A lot of talk, no fight. That's all I got
just
for that.
Think, I agree with you about Khan Peterson, and I'm one of the guys. I like Khan better I like Lamont Peterson better than most. I think he's a hard-nosed grinder, and with a certain style, he makes very good fights. Kiko Martinez, at one point, this was a tough little plugger, but the last time we saw him at the upper echelon, he was getting blown out by Scott Quigg in two. Now, he's put together three straight victories out there in Spain, but it's against very soft opposition. I just, again, I get it. He's coming off of a big victory as Leo Santa Cruz. But does now, for the next 2 years, does he go back on the C circuit? Is that what they're doing?
PBC. It's the PBC.
Yeah.
Circuit. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You just keep feeding them soft like that. And you know, I would have been fine going back to the Abner fight, to be honest. That was a close fight. It's a tough fight. And I'm still not sold on Leo Santa Cruz. Kiko Martinez, I mean, he's going to bring action. He always does that. But it's a guy that used to go rounds that's not going rounds anymore. You got to kind of keep an eye on that. And Spain, you know, there's also those rumors around him. So, you know, that's kind of grim. That's the thing. If you're going to take over a sport and rebrand it, you have to show some sort of improvement, right?
I mean, here's the other issue. The PBC under the Al Haymon umbrella, they have Cuellar, who's a rugged fighter, limited but tough, strong in his prime, and Gary Russell. What's happened to Gary Russell? Gabe, he fought one time last year all the way back in March.
Yeah, what the hell?
What's going on there? Seriously,
I don't understand.
What's going on?
Or, you know, Willie Nelson, who fought in a PBC fight and then just disappeared because of, what, politics?
Well, he made
because
the mistake of winning, Gabe.
What's that?
Gabe, he made the mistake of winning. He's got to be punished for that. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, yeah, you look at the division, you're like, well, you can make all these great fights. Why aren't you making them? I thought you were improving the sport. But really, they weren't. That's not what they're selling us. They got it back on network, and it's free. And so fans should just shut up and sit back and watch them ruin it.
Gabe, pardon me, but you mean it's free? Anyway, going to the fight preview, some televised boxing on Tuesday, PBC from San Antonio, Texas. Miguel Flores takes on Mario Briones. And then Saturday in Dallas from Unamas, Eric De Leon and Matvei Korobov co-headline. Gabe, here's what I find interesting. This card was supposed to be headlined by heavyweight Andy Ruiz, and they're saying, well, he's having issues, some personal stuff. Gabe, there's something to this. And I'll tell you why. Because you know with Andy Ruiz, there have been weight and discipline issues, and he seemed to get back on track, building some momentum. All of a sudden you have personal issues. Okay, I don't know what to say other than I'm suspicious. And then David Haye on Saturday comes back in London against Mark Demore. Any interest in the Haymaker return, Gabe?
I mean, he's going to be a high-level opponent for one of these guys if he does this. I mean, the guy he's facing, somebody asked us on Twitter, is this guy a threat, and do you know much about him? No and no. You know, I haven't.
Well, that's why they chose him, Gabe. That's why they chose him.
He's in great shape. I'm excited to see Eric De Leon get going again. He was up here training with Donaire before the Rigondeaux fight, and I was enjoyed watching him more than I watched watching Donaire, you know, train. He's good personality, good fighter, solid tools, not the most power in the world, but they haven't moved him all that much. He's only fought twice last year for a prospect. That's not much, and I don't know why. You know, maybe you could shed some light on that, but it'd be nice to see him kind of kick it off early in the year.
Yeah, I have no idea why. I'd have to ask his manager, who I believe is Cameron Duncan, to get an explanation on that. And here's another tweet from Evan Young talking about Spiltka taking the shortcut. Look at his physique and some recent vids. Spiltka has transformed from a soft-looking guy to a Hulk. He'll give a solid effort. Gabe, is there anyone else on the line?
There isn't, actually, strangely enough. It's,
right.
It's a little bit light today.
Okay, well, you know what? I see Clemson walking in with Dabo Sweeney, which means, you know what? Kickoff is near. We gave you 80-some-odd minutes of quality blog talk radio on a week where, quite frankly, not much was happening. So, all right, so on behalf of the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network and Gabriel Montoya, this is Steve Kim saying, till the next round, goodbye, everybody.